But resources are not only shrinking, costs are rising, things fall apart. De Tocqueville may be the segue here. He who said that commerce has a leveling effect. And as we said in a previous show, or many previous shows, we and our energy are what's being mystified in abstractions. We drive leveling. We drive democratization with our determination to improve the lives of the next generation. But under the terms of coerced atomization, when we're not defining the terms themselves, we end up fueling the death system. Look at what determines what happens in this world system. The lever sine qua non for keeping our nose pointed forward once we've been stripped of all means else to live is the wage, the coerced work system. It's the linchpin of a hierarchical leadership system. What else but manufactured insecurity would cause us to suppress our powerful need to express our leadership? Moreover, what about our brothers and sisters, both under our nose and in other lands? The regime of insecurity doesn't allow us to think about them. No, not just goodbye gifts, but also goodbye empathy. Goodbye standing in solidarity with our brothers and sisters. And why is it that more of us don't feel it, by the way? The horror of losing our gifts, and I don't just mean our art. I include in gifts our leadership, our capacity to be empathic. Is it that we're willing to accept rank so long as we're more or less satisfied with our own rank, so long as there are others below us, as Plato taught them? Why aren't more of us furious at the indignity of rank itself? As Emily Dickinson said, no human spirit should be reduced to disgrace of price. Publication is the auction of the mind of man. Poverty be justifying for so foul a thing? Possibly. But we would rather from our garret go white unto the white creator than invest our snow. Thought belonged to him who gave it. Then, to him who bear its corporeal illustration, sell the royal air in the parcel. Be the merchant of the heavenly grace, but reduce no human spirit to disgrace of price. Number 709. Emily Dickinson. Particularly as the lever, the wage allows them to do anything. And as resources are shrinking, more and more of us are at risk of sinking into an utter abyss of depravity of spirit. And resources are not only shrinking. Our earth's been gnawed to the bone. And what meat's left for the global pot must be carefully apportioned. Costs are rising. Crumbling infrastructure, toxic dumps in our earth and water, long ignored, must be cleaned up. Middle ranks in emerging states must be paid off. And power's thinning soup can't support enough of us. In starting to read this collaborative effort of Wallerstein's, Does Capitalism Have a Future? And I put up a page, I'm hoping one day to keep putting that book up. Keeping in mind that for us, this, can capitalism continue to exist, is not really the question. For us, the question is strategic. How do we get the future we want? Because it's time for us to start living self-determined lives. So as I consider how all of us are trained to see the world, multiple interrelated in-class issues relevant to our strategic question arise. First, that if the future we want is, as I've been arguing, the opposite of class, so will be our way of seeing, our way of orienting the world, as Kropotkin said, and ditto for its implied value system. Second, if that opposite lens, the view from the bottom, is simultaneously, necessarily, the view from the vantage of the whole, i.e. encompasses more of the truth, what the earth has established as reality, it must best represent for the health and wholeness of the planet. And lastly, and this is an issue that comes up every day as I listen to the media propaganda parade, that there must be a way for us to have this discussion of the importance of controlling the definitions, for power to control us, And for us, once we have the people's lexicon, i.e. our own definitions, for us, in order to begin creating the world we want.